It's okay.
That is okay.
It's okay. No, it's okay.
Let me explain.
It's okay.
Now.
It's okay.
She.
Off your mic, all over the top.
On 95.1 Nigeria Info, your mic is always on. Let's talk.
This is Sunny Side on 95.1 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back to the Sunny Side Show. My name is Swat, and thank you so much for being here. It's 18 minutes past 1 p.m. Nigerian time. From wherever you're listening to us, we say thank you. We have come to that moment where we'll get to talk about the Petroleum Industry Act. It is no more a bill. For a long time, we got used to calling it PIB, but now we have to learn to adjust our tongues to calling it PIA. And joining me this afternoon is Engineer Mike Onovo, who is a petroleum engineer. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Martin Onovo, not Mike, please.
Okay, sorry, sir. I got that wrong. It's Martin Onovo. Thank you so much, sir. Petroleum engineer. I got that right, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So thank you so much. We know that crude oil, of course, dominates Nigeria's economy and accounts for about 90% of export earning. And the country has the largest oil and gas reserve in sub-Saharan Africa with an estimated 37 billion barrels of oil. And, of course, a whole lot so we can go on and on. And the petroleum industry bill has been one that has been on for more than 10 years. Being anticipated by industry experts like yourself. Now it has come on board. Let me start by asking you, what should Nigerians expect from this act? How will it shape in the petroleum industry for good for the generality of Nigerians? And then we'll also maybe probably look at some weaknesses here and there from your observation. But let's start by looking at the implication of the Industry Act as it is right now that has been passed.
Well, before we go to the implications, I want to comment about your background introduction.
Okay.
First is that this act has been very many years in the making. Like you said, it's clearly over 10 years. The most disturbing information about this act is that it deviates from the original objectives of the original PIB. There were two principal objectives of the original PIB. Mm. One was compile all relevant oil and gas industry laws into one act so that investors can have adequate information to make satisfactory investment analysis and decisions. So that was the first objective. Instead of having different laws, bring all the laws under one umbrella of petroleum industry laws. That was the first objective. If you ask me, I will say that has not been achieved.
Mm.
The second one was to improve government revenue from the oil and gas industry. Because the understanding when this bill was originally conceived, was that government was not getting a fair share of revenue from the oil and gas industry. So these were the two principal original objectives. These have been sacrificed for sectional and parochial objectives in the new act. And I consider this new act to be tantamount to national economic sabotage, and I will explain. The new act creates NNPC Limited, that's first. It also creates two new commissions, one upstream commission, one downstream commission. It also imposes a near monopoly in the importation of petroleum products. In addition, it provides very unprofessionally and unpatriotically 30% 10% of the profits of the NNPC Limited is created for what is called for frontier explorations. Now, exploration is not determined by allocation of resources. Professionally, exploration is determined by professional assessment. And that is why you see that in the so-called frontier basins in northern Nigeria, not many international oil companies have invested any significant amount there, because the prospects are not bright. And you don't waste money, especially in a country that is in almost total economic ruin as of today, like Nigeria. Fifthly, it provides a 3% of operation costs for host community funds. This is considered severely inadequate and has been rejected by host communities. Mm. And that creates political and social distortions and tensions in the system. So this Petroleum Industry Act, as signed by General Buhari, creates more problems for the oil industry.
Okay.
And what will happen in the immediate short term is that once NNPC Limited is incorporated as a commercial enterprise, it will be profit-driven. Even though it's 100% owned by government, it will be profit-driven.
Hmm.
And if it is profit-driven, what you call oil subsidy, which is a subsidy for incompetence and corruption, that's what it actually is, because you can't have four refineries, lock them up, and keep importing products forever. NNPC will start selling imported products, that's the underline, at the landing cost rates with its profit. So you're looking at fuel price going higher. In addition to that, with the near monopoly it creates, the Petroleum Industry Act creates with importation of petroleum products. Because what the Act says, that importation of petroleum products will be by entities with active refinery licenses. Entities with active refinery licenses. I don't know how many entities you can name with active refinery licenses in Nigeria. So it creates a near monopoly on the importation of petroleum products. And in that way, it subverts this free market system.
Mm.
So the result of this act is going to be very clear in the next 6 months when NNPC Limited comes into play and all the importers of petroleum products are restricted because they don't have active monopoly active refinery licenses. And then there's no more competition. And if there's no competition, you are going to have a monopoly. If you have a monopoly, you are going to have extortion.
So I was saying,
this part of the economy.
Mr. Martins, I mean, I saw and, you know, there were a lot of optimism for the PIB then. And like you said, even though your introduction said that it has deviated, that this is a sort of aberration to the original intent of the PIB. You made mention about the upstream commission, downstream commission. How does this come in also in the scheme of all the things that you said, you know, to counter the monopoly of importation of petroleum and the other, you know, loopholes that you've pointed for us?
Well, the upstream commission and the downstream commission are bureaucratic entities. They are for regulation. So they will take on most of the roles that DPR used to play.
Okay.
Because DPR, prior to now, has been regulating both upstream and downstream. So instead of having a single regulator like DPR, it creates additional monopolies. Sorry, additional bureaucracies. So instead of one entity, the DPR, that has been regulating both upstream and downstream, you're now going to have two different commissions. one for upstream, one for downstream. And those commissions, as regulatory authorities, will start setting fresh rules, maybe from where GPR is as of today.
Okay,
that will not change the law.
Mm.
That will not change the law. That will not change the case of a Nyamdopoli by restricting importation of petroleum products to companies with active refinery licenses.
Wow.
Because if they had just said company with refinery licenses, that would be a little bit more flexible. But they said active refinery licenses. And so many companies have invested, built tank farms, developed distribution networks for the distribution of imported petroleum products, built jetties. And now you're going to exclude them. So that's why I say that this new act is tantamount to national economic sabotage. And the Senate president has publicly admitted that there are issues. And he's calling for amendments 1 week after it was passed. Excuse me, why do we keep behaving like this?
Okay, I want to interrogate further because I need to understand this NMPC. How can NMPC still be in the grip of the federal government or be a government institution and still be limited in, you know, how is that going to work out or how's that going to pan out?
No, it's simple. It's simple. Now, government can have a business. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
Government can set up a business. Now, the shareholder will be government. The equity funds will be got by government. If government makes profit, good. If government makes a loss, good. So just like a company can own another company, or can but own another company, government can own. What is happening now is that the Petroleum Industry Act, as of today, gives 100% equity right to the Federal Ministry of Finance, which is you and I. It's government. It's the Nigerian government, represented by the Federal Ministry of Finance. Now, the Governors Forum is saying that that is wrong. The Nigerian Governors Forum is saying that that is wrong. That the federal government cannot appropriate the NMPC, which belongs to the three tiers of government. So, and the Governors Forum is insisting that it's constitutional.
Wow.
That the Federal Ministry of Finance cannot own the NMPC because the NMPC belongs to the federal government, state government, and local government.
Okay.
Like you say, the oil industry brings in over 90% of our foreign exchange earnings. And this is an import dependent economy. So foreign exchange earnings are critical to support importation. So these are the criticalities we need to understand in economic analysis.
Okay, I want to also understand something because, you know, one of the things that is key on the minds of Nigerians is how this is going to impact on prices of fuel. Now, many a times I talk to people who get to analyze the industry and compare it to the GSM that, you know, the upstream, downstream would make sure that, you know, the industry is deregulated and that there's going to be competitiveness that will come in at some point in time and alleviate Nigerians of any worry in terms of how much they have to buy price, that there will be competitive prices. Can you help us understand how this act is going to enable this, or is it just some figment of our imagination because of the way you're talking about this act?
It's a figment of our national malaise, which is corruption and incompetence. That is what it is. This is very clear. This is very simple. It is deliberate mischief, trying to misrepresent facts, and clear analysis, or it is clear case of a wishful incompetence. Now, there are two major factors to this pricing issue. One is that you're importing. We should not be importing. This does not require any discussion. We have discussed it for 30 years. We should not be importing what we produce. It is more expensive to import, much more expensive because of the additional cost. Common sense, you produce crude here, you carry it to Europe, you refine, you bring it back. You can see all the costs. Why do you do that? We should be exporting petroleum products, but we're importing it. South Africa has no crude oil, but it refines. We have crude oil. We have four refineries. We do not refine. This is dysfunctional. You don't need to be a genius to understand this. This is simple. Mm. Innocent children can understand it. But mischievous and corrupt professionals will not understand it.
Okay?
Mischievous and corrupt professionals or people claiming to be analysts will not understand something this simple. That's number one. That's the first factor. We are importing what we produce. So that is a lot of waste, and therefore prices are high. And that is why each time you talk about prices, they talk about landing cost. Landing cost is landing of importation. If it is domestic from Port Harcourt refinery, you will not be landing it. You will be distributing it. Landing cost is cost of importing landing in Nigeria. So that's number one. When you want to understand why the price is what it is, we should not be importing. Importing is expensive and wasteful. The second thing is the competition we're talking about. I just told you that this act creates a pseudo monopoly in the importation by restricting importation to only companies that have active refinery licenses. And I ask you to mention companies that have active refinery licenses. Right now, without doing any study, I know that NNPC has active refinery licenses. NNPC has been importing all this while. Dangote has an active refinery license. I don't know who else has active refinery license. I know other entities that have refinery licenses, but active refinery licenses.
So that word active, can you help us understand what's the implication of that word active?
We will ask the lawyers that. But what I understand to be active is correct.
Okay.
Correct. And you and I know that many entities secured refinery licenses many years ago. So are those refineries active as of now? I don't think so. So, and that's why I said it creates a near monopoly. But in addition, there are companies that don't have any refinery licenses that just invested in the downstream sector to import products and to distribute. They have built tank farms for millions of dollars, and you're going to exclude them from the business? You are destroying the companies. And that is why I say this is tantamount to national economic sabotage.
Wow.
You must allow them to compete. There are tank farms all over Lagos. They are owned by different companies. There are churches all over Lagos. They are owned by different companies. They established these facilities to be able to distribute petroleum products. If you now say that because they don't have active refinery licenses, you exclude them from importation, you are creating a near monopoly and you are destroying their businesses. And that is tantamount to national economic sabotage, I'm insisting. That's what it is.
So in all, you know, I mean, from the way you're talking about this Industry Act now, it doesn't create... Well, it doesn't evoke the feelings of excitement or something to be really happy about, because it seems there are more problems than maybe problems solved in by the act in itself. Do you agree to what I'm saying?
No, that's our conclusion. This further complicates and distorts our difficult circumstances. Of course, we can quickly amend it now that the Senate President is admitting publicly. So we can quickly do some amendments. But you see, what happens is that when the motives are wrong, it's not so easy to amend. Because you don't have a house by putting a roof. You have a house by putting the foundations, putting the superstructure before you put the roof and the facilities. So if you have just put a roof and you say let's go and amend it, it becomes very difficult because there's no foundation. So that's the point. But this is not the first time we politicize everything. This is very sectional. You can see that instead of focusing on investment success and revenue, which is what government needs, considering the issue of the frontier basin exploration, government is more interested in parochial and sectional interests that have failed for 40 years. These so-called frontier basins, we have invested in them for 40 years and we got nothing. And now we just legitimize waste.
20%.
By putting 30% of all NNPC limited properties to continue in this wasteful venture that has wasted our resources for 40 years.
Mm. All right, sir, go ahead.
When General Buhari was head of state in 1984, he invested a lot of money in this basis. He has nothing to show for it. Now he has an act to continue investing. So we do so many things that are completely absurd as a people. And that is because of what I say.
What would you rather say that 30% should have been given instead of the frontier basin exploration? What should that 30%, where should it have gone into? And that would have been more profitable.
There are too many places you can put it. You can put it in infrastructure development. You can even plug it back in more productive areas of the oil industry. For example, we can put it back into developing new refineries. Now, that will increase our refining capacity. If we have adequate refining capacity, we can start exporting refined products instead of importing refined products. And that is, of course, after satisfying domestic consumption. So there are too many places. You can put it on any one Asia Express road. It's not like a bush path. So you don't ask where we put money. We can put it in education. We can put it in health. Why must you put it in a wasteful venture where the chances of payback, in other words, investment success, rate of return, is near zero, based on 40 years of our experience?
All right, let me raise you.
General Buhari was a military head of state. He invested there. Where are the results of his investment there? Right. And he wants to perpetuate it through a law.
Let me raise two issues. Two issues here, yes. Sir. Issue of subsidy. I want you to help me and all the listener who is out there trying to understand what's the state of subsidy when it comes to the act. Then secondly, what is also, you know, I know you've made statements about moribund industries, refineries that we have. What is also the position of this act as relating to these industries that are just refineries that are just wasting away and nothing is coming forth out of it? Is there any hope that there will be some sort of revival, you know, of our refineries and begin to function so that we stop this wasteful venture of, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now you understand it very clearly. You are importing what you produce. You
yes.
live in Lagos. You have a mighty yam farm. There are you have so many yams that you send yams to Enugu. But you import roasted yam. That's what we're doing. So why don't you roast your yam? And you're importing your roasted yam from Zamfara. Imagine the transportation costs. Imagine the insurance costs. So this is what we're doing in the oil industry. And you also have the roasting, what do you people call it? That looks like a barbecue unit. That you have the roasting facilities, but you don't use it. You just keep exporting your yams to Enugu, and then you import roasted yam from Zamfara or from Enugu. Why? And you talk about the Ministry of Productivity, and you are unproductive. And you are allowing your barbecue units to waste.
Does the act address that?
So, that's with respect to domestic refining versus importation of petroleum products.
Mm.
Now, this government, before it came to power, promised that it will rehabilitate the refineries. This is the seventh year, or sixth year, that has not happened. So, who do you hold responsible? The one who made the promise or the one who did not? That's one. Two, currently, the government says it's using $1.5 billion and another over $1 billion, $1.5 for Port Harcourt refinery rehabilitation, another over $1 billion. For another refinery rehabilitation. Interestingly, just a few years back, the refinery in Ghana was rehabilitated. Phase 1 and Phase 2 cost less than $300 million. But here, we're using nearly $3 billion to do two refineries. So that's not the question you asked me, but that's important. Because there is no question you're going to ask that will not be affected by the Nigerian factor. This factor of deliberate corruption, incompetence, and sabotage. Very deliberate. Now, with respect to the price of petroleum products, please understand it. When you import, there is what you call landing cost. What is landing cost? The cost that brings it to the port in Nigeria. Now, from the port, you receive it into your facilities. From receiving into your facilities, you distribute through tankers. All these fuel tankers you see. So they take it to your fuel station, you come and buy. All those costs are covered by distribution costs and profits. But the cost to bring it to the port in Nigeria is landing costs. Because you are importing. So understand that. And that's because we're saying it's high. Because importation is wasteful. You don't import what you produce. So that's number one. Number two, why are you buying 162 today? You're buying 162 today because NNPC pays the difference. And that is government. Because NNPC is owned by us. So NNPC pays the difference. That's why you can still buy 162. Otherwise, it will be well over 200. Do you understand that? Can I
just
continue?
Yes, yes, I understand.
Uh-huh. And that amount paid by NNPC is what is called subsidy. The difference between the actual cost and what you pay. Who pays that difference? As of today, NNPC, which is owned by the Nigerian government. Now, when NNPC becomes commercialized, a commercial entity works for its profit. NNPC will no longer be in a position to provide subsidy as NNPC. So you will pay the price plus the profits. And how do you control price in a free market system? You control price not with regulation but with competition. And that is why in a free market, monopolies are forbidden. And I'm telling you that this act creates a near monopoly. So you don't do the wrong things and expect the right answers. And in Nigeria, we deliberately do the wrong things, defend them, celebrate them, and then complain about the outcome.
Wow.
So you can see, that's an indication of dysfunctionality. So even the people have become dysfunctional because their government is dysfunctional.
So in the tiniest...
And then you have people in the media. And then you have people in the media justifying it.
So in the tiniest bit, sir, this, you know, I'm really getting worried the way you're going about this whole thing. In the tiniest bit, yes, I really want to know, because you are the expert here. In the tiniest bit, does this bring in any glimmer of hope for the Nigerian petroleum industry in any way? Or is it all just dark and gloomy picture that we are, you know, analyzing this afternoon? Is there anything at all to just be optimistic about?
I will not be optimistic about the PID that deviates from the original objectives, Petroleum Industry Act, that deviates from the original objectives that justified it. That's number one. I will not be optimistic about NNPC Limited. Because the problem in the NNPC goes beyond whether it's a national oil company or whether it's a commercial entity, which is the difference you have today. The difference goes beyond that, because if in your studio you hire technicians for your equipment who are actually, for your electronics equipment, who are actually mechanics, and then you promote them and say you're motivating them, would that make them electronic technicians? I don't think so. So, inappropriate remedies. That's number one. So, I'm not excited about NNPC Limited, especially in the circumstances.
Okay. Well,
about two commissions, to me, that's an expansion of bureaucracy, because the intention of the Petroleum Industry Act was not to discredit the DPR. You can get the DPR to have downstream department and upstream department and still achieve the same thing if you want specializations. So that's true. So if that makes you excited, it doesn't excite me. The 30% for frontier basin exploration, to me, that is the key part of the national economic sabotage. So that does not excite me. If it does excite you, that's okay. The near monopoly in product importation, I don't see why you would celebrate that. Then the 5% for host communities that has been rejected by everybody, including the Southern Governors Forum and the opposition National Assembly member. If you want to celebrate that, well, I will not celebrate that. So you have to tell me what you have seen in that act that deserves to be celebrated.
Wow. So the plan to amend, even as the Senate President has admitted that indeed there is a need for amendment, do you think that would sort of cover some of these chasms, some of these voids, or this?
You can quickly alleviate it.
Mm.
You can simply delete the 30%. It's a fashion. You can delete it. That will solve a particular problem. You can delete the sections of the upstream and downstream commission, because these are entirely new bureaucracies, new offices, new positions, new letterhead, new learning curve. Please, why do we always behave like this? This is deliberately destructive.
Mm.
This is Sunnyside on 95.1 Nigeria Info.